Hi, I'm Angie, part of Rock. I'll be doing a Bible reading from Psalm 119. If you don't have a Bible or a device to read on, just raise your hand and someone will bring it around. So that's from Psalm 119, starting from verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I will not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. My second reading will be from Matthew chapter 4, starting from verse 1. That's Matthew chapter 4, starting from verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put your Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship your Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. We're continuing our four-part series on God's Word Is. What did we see last week? God's Word is final, has power and authority. Today we're going to be looking at God's Word is necessary. Then we're going to be looking at God's Word is clear. And then lastly, God's Word is enough. Hopefully, every week you're starting to fall in love with God's Word more and more. Got a little bit of a visual aid here. Holy Bible, God's Word. So today we're doing the second one, God's Word is necessary. And this is a very personal sermon for me because it's a little bit of a testimony and it could be yours as well. So some of the things you might hear, you could be saying, this has to do with my life. Some of it resonates with yourself. My parents were Europeans from first century Christianity came to their country. So the tradition of my family is very Christian. I was baptized as a baby. And when we're baptized, everyone's given a cross, a gold cross. And I still have my gold cross from 45 years ago. It looks brand new because we weren't allowed to wear it. It's just, you know, we were given it. And I remember growing up saying the Lord's Prayer every single night. I remember saying, "Forgive me for my trespasses." I never knew what that meant, but I would say it every single night without fail. Now, we didn't read the Bible. We didn't have one at home and we didn't go to church, but there was that tradition in the background. And I remember, it's funny, when I was a kid, we used to go past one of these bigger churches and we would just do the cross as we went by. Like, you had to do it, go driving by. And that was the tradition I was brought up in. If you ask me, was I a Christian? The answer is, of course. Was it reasonable as I started to get older to think that this is right? Well, I believed in heaven. I believed in hell. I believed in wrong and right. I used to pray when I used to do things wrong. I used to say, "God, forgive me, I'm sorry." I used to think God was a little bit like Santa Claus. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you're good or bad. And you need to be good as best as you can be. And I thought I was probably good enough. I wasn't the worst kid in the world. I wasn't the best, but definitely wasn't the worst. And I thought my reasoning was, you know what, this is right. And I longed to go to heaven. I said, one day I want to go to heaven. That's an exciting place to be with God. And my experience was, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as Jesus said. Just be nice to others. They're going to be nice to you back. Live the best life you can live. And that's enough. God's going to see you and say, you know, you're all right. You're not too bad. You did that Lord's Prayer thing. You got a cross in the drawer. You're doing your thing every time you're going past church. You know what? You're all right. For nearly 30 years, I thought that way. And this is what I want to share with you to say that I've got to click, don't I? Do you remember this from last week? I didn't have to do extra prep. Thank you, Joel. My tradition was there. My reasoning, to me, was sound. And my experience was I believed in a good God that's going to take me to heaven because I'm pretty good. But there's a box missing at the top. I couldn't get it in black like you. You were really good. I struggled. What's missing in that box up there? Do you remember? Any Joel remembers? Anyone remembers? The Bible. But not only that, look at the Bible and the arrows. You can only understand tradition, reason, and experience from God's word. I didn't know it was necessary to know life, to know God. I thought I was all right. Maybe some were thinking like that in the past as well, even maybe now. But it's the Bible that's at the center. Right in the center. God's word is necessary to understand life, to understand God, to do anything. So I must admit, I had it wrong. It's like a chocolate cake without chocolate. You can't call it a chocolate cake. There's no chocolate. What is it? It's cake, but it's not a chocolate cake. Life isn't life without the Bible, which is obviously we're going to see the necessity of what's inside the Bible, without the Bible. You're going to live your life confused. I didn't think it was necessary to know God's word for a long time. Is it really necessary? What do you think? Is it really that important for our lives? Is it that important to read God's word to know God? To know his will? I pulled this out of my car. And it's good that Murray, we didn't even plan it, was talking about a car thing. And my car, beautiful car, 20 years old, best car in the world. And I've never, ever opened this ever. And I looked inside, it's a manual. Warranty, everything. I've never needed it. And that's what I thought God's word was like. You know, you walk through life, you can experience it. You don't need to read God's word inside. It's just going to be all these, oh, be good, be nice. And just a bunch of rules that are ancient. And, you know, do you really need to read these rules? I didn't think so. I thought I was doing okay. But it's not like this, is it? I don't need to read this. I think I'm an okay driver. But to live life, God's word is necessary. But do you think God's word can be boring? Is it boring? Let's be honest. Do you think it's boring? Do you think it's outdated? 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, so long ago. Is it too hard to understand? You read 3-4 chapters, gone. No. Is that what you think sometimes? That's what I used to think. Let me just read something to you. Still, it's the most popular book in the world today. Do you think some people think it's necessary? Millions sold or given away, 5 billion plus, 200 million times the U Bible app has been downloaded, the U Version Bible app, and I've got it as well. It's one of the best apps. It's the bestseller every single week, and it always has been. They don't even put it on the bestsellers list anymore because it's the bestseller. Every single week, week after week. Why do you think this is the case? Why is it the bestseller, the most sold, the most read? Why is it so popular? Why do people think it's so necessary? We saw last week the power of God's word, the authority of God's word. It's the creator speaking to his creation. It's God speaking to us. Why would you put God's word away? You don't want to listen to God. The psalmist says this, it is more precious than gold. Do you see it that way? Do you see God's word more precious than gold? We saw last week 70 million copies a year, Gideon's. And what does it say at the beginning of the book? The book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. That seems necessary, doesn't it? So our 3 points today, we're going to be looking at the gospel. It's necessary, God's word for the gospel. It's necessary for war. You're thinking, what? And then I'll even get worse. Epignosis is point three, and we're going to get to that. 3 points. The first one I think is the most important, and that is the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and that he died for our sins. I'm going to ask you a question now. This is a very general, when it comes to the gospel, this question a lot of the time comes out. Apologists always ask this question. If you were to pass away right now, would you go to heaven? Your options are no, maybe, probably, or definitely. What's your answer? Keep it in your mind. We'll come back to it. What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus came to this earth to save us from death and sin. That we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. God is a good God, and he wants to be in relationship with us, but because of sin, he cannot. And what does God do? He doesn't rely on us. He sends us his son as a gift. And he says, believe in my son's work. Believe in his righteousness. Believe in his goodness. He will take away your sin. Just trust in him. That's the gospel. And you will have, obviously, eternal life. How did you hear about the gospel? You all know the gospel, hopefully. How did you hear about it? Did you read it? Did someone tell you? Where did they hear it from? Could you ever understand the gospel without God's word? Is it possible? I had the general revelation for almost 30 years. Could I have understood just by looking at trees that Jesus came and died for me? It's not possible, is it? God's word is necessary for salvation, to be saved from our sins. We're just going to have a look at a few verses. You can take a photo of it. We don't have time because there's 3 points to go through everything about the gospel. But we're going to have a look at just 4 verses. And I want to just focus on the red part. Acts, Ephesians, Romans, Timothy. It says there's no other name that you can be saved. No other name, Jesus. You can only find that from reading the scriptures. You will never understand that it's by Jesus that you're saved. Okay, that's the first one. The second one is through your faith. You will never get that on your own. We're programmed to do works to achieve things in your job or whatever you do. You think you have to do something to get a reward. But it's through faith. You can only find that out through Scripture. Romans 10:17, it's by hearing the word of Christ. How are you going to hear the word of Christ if you don't read it or hear it from the gospel? You're never going to know. This is why we go out and preach the gospel, because they're never going to know automatically, are they? And yeah, take a photo of it. It's good because you do Bible study after this, and you can go into this more detail, so that's a good idea. And 2 Timothy 3:15, you have been acquainted with from childhood, this great scriptures, these mighty scriptures through faith in Jesus Christ. So there's just a few of them that is telling you very clearly that God's word is necessary to understand the gospel. You can't know it any other way. For you and for the people out there who've never even read the Bible. So, It's so necessary that, did you know we preach the gospel every week? Did you ever realize that? And if I don't do it today, David or you guys, anyone will come, oh, you didn't preach the gospel this week. And when I went to Bible college, I remember at the start I was in preaching class and they said, you need to preach the gospel every week. And I said, what? every week. Even I'm doing Abraham, Moses. I said, what's that got to do with Jesus? Why am I going to jump there? And they've heard it before. Well, you know, we do it every week, so why would we need to do it every week? They're going to get bored of it. That was when I first became a Christian. But now I understand. And it's something I can't get my head around. You can help me later. For some reason, you preach it every single week, and people still don't get it. Have you noticed that? People still don't get it. It's maybe just against our natural system of works. We want to do things to earn. Maybe we don't want to receive a gift for free. We're like, no, thanks, Jesus, but you know what? Let me add a little bit to that. I'm not sure, but for whatever reason, we just can't grasp the gospel. I asked you a question before, didn't I? It's a crucial question. If you were to pass away now, would you go to heaven? If your answer was no, I don't know, maybe, anything other than definitely, then with all love and respect, you still don't understand the gospel, even though you're hearing it every single week. I'll tell you why. Because you're not understanding the finished work of Christ. You're not understanding that it's a complete gift and he paid the penalty 100%. It means you're living your life trying to be good enough. And that's a burden. Take that burden away and give it to Jesus. Christ died for you. It's a free gift. If you have any questions about that, please see David or myself. But to understand the gospel is the first point. It's so necessary to read God's word to understand the Bible for eternal life. So that's our first point and very crucial. And the second one, you're probably thinking, I can't wait till he gets to war. Whew. What's he talking about? Second point is war. Now we're saved. First point, saved. That's the most important thing. Salvation through faith. We get that from God's word. That's why it's necessary. But did you know you've got to live this life now for 60, 70, 80 years, 90 years if you're lucky? Not you. I mean, not you, but you know what I mean. Your grandmother. And we have to live in this world. And as soon as you were born, you're entering into a world of war. It started in the beginning with Adam and Eve. And if you don't know, you're entering into a world of war, then you're misreading Scripture. And the war, as we see in Scripture, is going to get worse and worse until Jesus returns. We need to be prepared. Are we prepared? What's the war against? The world. You can see around you. Just turn on the TV. The flesh. Our own desires want to sin. We lean towards sin on a daily basis. And of course, behind it all is Satan. So let's have a look at a few verses. We're not going to go through them all. But I want to go to Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God to stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Put on the full armor of God. That one. The best one I can find. Full armor of God. But we're not going to go through the full armor of God today because that's not what we're doing. We're doing what? God's word is necessary. In the full armor of God, which one is God's word? I've got God's word here, and on the same stool, I've got the sword. I've got to show you the sword. Yay! I've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, sorry, camera, if I move. Imagine you're going into war. Now, back then, they didn't have guns for the young people. They go, oh, that's not that strong. They didn't have guns. This was the best weapon you could have. I would rather this than a helmet, a chest guard, a shield. I would rather this more than anything else. This is called the Word of God. Now imagine going into this world without God's word. It's like going into battle with no sword. Can you imagine that? Think about going into battle with no sword. What are you going to do with your shield? Unless you're Captain America, you're going to lose. Someone's going to come with it and just going to go, boom, and get you. It's going to be that easy. And it's going to be that easy for Satan to attack you if you're not in God's word. It's going to be so easy for him. He attacked me for a long, long, long time, made me think I was good enough. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaming lion, looking for someone to devour." Put it away for now. So this enters our passage today. What's our passage? See if I've got it here. All right. Our passage is Jesus being led into the wilderness by who? By who? Nope. By God. What does it say? Jesus led by the Spirit in the wilderness, tempted by the devil, but he was sent by God. He was vulnerable. He had just received the Holy Spirit. And 40 days and 40 nights, no food, no water. He was at his most vulnerable. At this moment, the devil comes along and says, "I'm going to stop him from doing what he needs to do." Jesus is fully God and fully human. He needs him to use his divine powers. And Jesus, to represent us, has to be fully human. So Satan says, "Look at these rocks. You know you can turn them to bread." And what does Jesus do? This is very important. He quotes Scripture. He says, "It is written, man should not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God." What is he saying? He says, "I'm not a slave to my desires. I'm not a slave to my feelings. I'm not a slave to what my heart says, because the heart can deceive you. I am a servant of God, and I will listen to him only." And there'll be many times in your life you are struggling and going through some hard times. That's when Satan will appear. And at that time, what will you do? Will you think that God's word is necessary to fight Satan, or will you think your own cleverness is going to be there? What does Jesus do? He quotes Scripture. And Satan's not silly. He knows Scripture too. And he said, "Well, I'll re-quote some Scripture to you." And we know Satan, when he quotes Scripture, he flips it. That's why there's so many false teachers out there. They don't think they're false teachers, but they're working for Satan. He's flipping the script on them, and they quote Scripture out of context. And that's what he says. He takes him to the temple, and he says, "Oh, go down, and God's angels will save you." That's not what the Scriptures are on about at all. And Jesus then quotes Scripture the second time. He says, "Don't put the Lord to God to the test. Don't test God." Now Satan gets desperate, and he shows him the kingdom, the world, everything. And he says, "If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything." Now, if this is not the funniest verse in the Bible, I don't know what is. How can Satan give Jesus what is already Jesus's? Everything is Jesus, and Satan's saying, "This is mine, I'm going to give it to you." Patricia getting in my car, says, "Steve, I'll sell you this car." "It's my car." Doesn't make any sense. And what is he trying to get Jesus to do? Break the first commandment. And Jesus is, there's no way, and he quotes again for the third time, he quotes Scripture. He said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil left. If Jesus thinks that God's word is necessary and he doesn't have a sinful nature, what do you think that means for us? You can ponder that. If you love Jesus, I'm sure you want to follow his example. So that's number two. We're at war, and God's word is necessary for this war. Same as it was necessary for Jesus. Now the last one is epinosis. Does anyone know what that means? Gnosis means knowledge. Epinosis is only mentioned 20 times in the Bible. It's like an EpiPen goes in. It's a knowledge that is a little bit more than just head knowledge. If you asked me 12 years ago, if someone came up to me and said, why do you believe in the Bible? Or they said, why should I believe in the Bible? I went straight away to apologetics every single time, and that means a defend. We'll have a look at the evidence of Jesus' life, have a look at the evidence of his death and resurrection, and have a look at this city is still there, have a look at the prophecies, and that's all fine. But now as I'm growing as a Christian, I say more than that. I say to them, it's my relationship with God. I have a relationship with God. You all do. You know this. We have a relationship with God that is infinitely better than any relationship you'll have with a human. It's hard to even explain that to someone else, but we know what we mean when we say, why are we Christians? The first thing we say is, oh my goodness, I love God. God is there for me. He's there everywhere. And that's that word. It's a precise and correct knowledge. It's an overflowing of love knowledge. It's a complete change of inner being knowledge. It's an abundant spiritual supreme knowledge. It's an abundant intelligence knowledge. It's a spirit of divine disclosure of knowledge. I know there's a lot of hard words there, but I'll say it simply. Something more than head knowledge. It's an intimate and relational knowledge that we will receive only by reading God's word. Think about a person you know. And think about, I'll pick Hendrik. Just a year ago, Hendrik and I, we knew a few things about each other. Now he can tell you so much about me and my family, and my love for Hendrik is growing. And I talk to him once a week, maybe twice a week. Imagine our relationship with God if we're in the Word every single day, every minute. How would our relationship be with God? How intimate would our relationship be with God? That's the importance of reading God's word. Billy Graham says, the Bible is God's love letter to us. St. Augustine says, the Holy Scriptures are letters from home. Isn't that beautiful? N.T. Wright says, this is the book of my life, the book I live by, the book I want to die by. That's epignosis. And we'll just have a look really briefly as we finish some Bible verses. This is, as I mentioned, it's mentioned 20 times, but 4 times in Peter, because Peter loves to talk about Jesus. And it says, the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And in verse 3, it talks about the knowledge of him, Jesus. This is that epignosis. This is that intimate word. In verse 8, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ again. And then in verse 20, knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not just talking about knowing about Jesus. He's actually talking about the intimate way of understanding Jesus. And that's when that Greek word is used. So I just check what's the next slide. Yes, okay. So I'm just going to conclude by saying, and Joel had it last time, and I really liked it, the 300 theologians coming together in Chicago, to stray away in faith or conduct is to be disloyal to the master. Do you want to be disloyal to your master? For nearly 30 years, I didn't believe. I didn't think God's word was necessary, but Billy Graham's words ring in my ear. If you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. If you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. Every single apostle except John died to make sure people out there understood God's word. The scriptures are banned in 52 countries around the world. That doesn't stop us from going there and giving the gospel to people who don't understand it. In 1981, Open Doors smuggled 1 million Bibles into China. They do it in North Korea and Cuba and Iraq and many countries. We are still trying to get in there. People are dying and they know, well, it's important. They understand that the Bible is necessary. And for those who think, I've read it, I read it all the time, I'm okay, listen to Charles Spurgeon. Nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The Bible widens and deepens with our years. So let me just pray. Father, we thank you. we can come together. Father, sometimes we forget how powerful and how necessary your word is. We live our lives separate from you, Father. But Father, we've seen through Scripture that we need your word more than ever. That only through your word, Father, that we can see and understand salvation. Father, that only through your word can we tackle Satan in this world and be prepared for his schemes. And Father, through your word, we can have an intimate, close relationship, like a husband and wife relationship with you every day, every minute. So Father, help us to continue to see your word as precious, as powerful, and relevant in our lives today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.